better shout before those rocks do. I'd be doggone if any rock's going to outshout me. Praise God. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said to me, come, let's go to the house of the Lord. Amen. I tell you what, got a couple real quick announcements. First off, today is war on the floor. We're making war in the heavens. We're making trouble. Anybody, you know, I know most of us in here weren't troublemakers intentionally. I'll put it that way. We just inadvertently caused trouble. However, we're doing this intentionally. Intentionally stirring trouble for the devil. Because I'm going to tell you right now, he is on a war path with God's people. He's on the war path with people. And if we don't start loving people in general, to be able to pray for them, they're hurting. They're going to be, it's a messed up world. So, keep that in mind. And next week, next Saturday, since I'm here today telling you, next Saturday, remember, pray for your nation. Next week is 20 years since 9/11 took place. That is something. I mean, 20 years ago, our enemies struck our country. And 20 years ago, God struck the enemy by starting this church. A month later. So, don't worry about what the devil's doing. You keep praying and keep trusting what God's going to do. So let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I thank you, you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. Father, you are the God of Gods. Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offerings. Lord, we present them as precious. Father, I call your word as a testament to your goodness. Father, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The devourer is cursed for our sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. And at this point, if you have any more prayer requests, you can give them to our usher. Yet we've got another walker. And based on the video I've seen, another climber as well. He can climb. Oh, praise God. So in other words, Matt and Michelle, all peace is over. Oh, praise God. Well, we've been talking about getting to know the Holy Spirit, a closer look at the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we've learned that we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. Now, if your Messiah needed it, how much more do you need it? Well, you know, Jesus didn't face what I face. He had to be tempted in every way you were ever faced. He had to be tempted with everything. Think about that for a minute, folks. We all think, well, you know, just lying, cheating, stealing. Everything. Every possible scenario Jesus had to be tempted in order to pass. Now, his Father knew he would. The devil did everything he could to try to stop it. If you are the Son of God. Now, one, he's trying to create doubt, not that the devil didn't know who he was. I totally disagree. There's a line of preaching that said, well, the devil didn't know who he was. He was just guessing. No, he knew exactly who he was. We know this because with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was put in the fiery furnace. What did the king say? He said, didn't we put three men in there? But that fourth one, where'd he come from? He looks like the Son of God. How did he know what the Son of God looked like? Because the devil knows what the Son of God looks like. And so with the whole power of the Holy Spirit in our lives today, we can be just as powerful as Jesus Christ. We do not need to fear what the devil brings us. I do love that song. I am a child of God. I will not fear what the devil may bring. We're all, we just want to live in peace. Listen, you need to understand something. There's always been in the history of this country somebody waging a war against us. Or we've been fighting a war against somebody else. There's never been a full, true peacetime. You know, most of us in here are old enough to remember some. Now I'm looking around. There's some of you not old enough to remember the Cold War. I actually, and probably a couple others in here, well, I know the Vietnam era, I actually got a certificate that says, that stipulates that I was a Cold War veteran. So it's kind of cool. Just a piece of paper. I have no idea where it's at now. But you know, that fear that was constantly, you know, and I can't even imagine what the 50s and the 60s were like. The fear of somebody always bombing us. They're gonna nuke us. No, they're not. They don't want to start this war. They just want to make threats. But the power that we have as believers, listen folks, that's what's keeping the devil at bay in reality. Is the power of the body of Christ. When we quit arguing over whether women can have their hair down, or if women can preach, or if you can wear jeans to church. When we quit arguing about stupid things, that's when the body of Christ has matured. So we're going to look at some things today, because here's what I like to point out when I'm teaching about the Holy Spirit is, religion wants to stop what God wants. Religion is nothing but control. Look at it. Go in and read the law. All it wanted to do, all it could do, and God knew exactly what it was going to do because Israel chose that. You got to remember, they were offered an opportunity to meet him face to face. Think about this. You're offered the opportunity, but because of your fear, you chose a different route. God said that if that's the way they want it, all they get is law. Law didn't bring anything. It brought death. And God was trying to bring a relationship back with him, and Israel rejected it. But he's all-knowing, and he knew they were going to do it. So he had already made plans. He had already talked to Jesus a long time ago, or Yeshua. So he had already made these plans, made these arrangements that Jesus Christ would be crucified before he created this earth. Think about that. And folks, I stand as one, I do not believe the earth is only 10,000 years old. I think it's older. I don't know how much older, but I know we're the first human beings. I don't know what, I mean, I love digging up dinosaur stuff. When I worked in a mine, I loved looking for fossils. I found parts of a giant clam one time. It was pretty awesome. And they had me out on the lookout for some star-shaped fossil that was worth like $50,000. I'm like, yeah, you tell somebody's making $10 an hour to keep his eye out for a $50,000 rock. Mm-hmm. No, wouldn't have stole it. But the Holy Spirit is in our lives to empower us, to give us the ability, as according to Acts, to be witnesses for God. Now, that does not mean it gives you courage to go up and necessarily street minister, okay? There are people, that is their gift. And I'm sick of the church trying to push every gift down somebody's throat that is not set up that way. I've told you the story about when Walmart first went in Ontario. We're going to go up and we're going to witness the people coming out. I'll be honest with you. Having been somebody who comes out and gets bombarded at Walmart, I don't appreciate it. But that day, I was out there, and I asked this older guy, he had probably been, you know, I was 19, okay? and maybe 18 still at that point. And I asked the guy, I said, do you know if you're going to hell? Do you know you're going to hell? He said, yep, kept walking. I just stood there. But there are people that are anointed to be able to do that. And I have now found my anointing, my gifting, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to talk to people. I don't have to go up and hit them in the head with the Bible to get their attention. By the way, that's a bad way to get people to come to Christ. That's why they call them Bible thumpers. You don't care. You just want another notch in your belt. And Jesus said, I will give you the ability to be my witnesses. In other words, you'll be able to tell people about the things you've overcome. I've been able to tell people my testimony about how I had to forgive. And whether or not they got saved right then is not the point. It was, there's a seed planted into them. See, Paul said, one plants, one waters, maybe another harvests. That's what matters. Or maybe I was the one watering. And so we all can be God's witnesses. Not everybody's going to be David Wilkerson and walk into the street gangs of New York City and start telling them about Jesus Christ. You need to understand that takes anointing. And I've told you before, I pick up hitchhikers knowing full well they just got out of jail. On 42, you know which way, if they're heading towards Mansfield, they just got out of Morrow County Jail. But I've done it knowing. Now, I've told you, I don't pick them up with my family in the car. I'm just not going to do it. But I get to talk to them. But I'm not in there bashing them with the word of God. You heathen, you sinner. Well, come on. Just because he got out of jail doesn't mean he's all what you're saying. Because Paul was in jail quite a bit. If we're going to call jailbirds all sinners. Right now, it's not against the law to preach a gospel. Right now. There's coming a day they're pushing for it. They've been trying to stop preachers from preaching the truth from the pulpit. But the power of the Holy Spirit will not fail us. And that's what I want to make sure that people understand. The power you have as a believer is phenomenal. He shows you things. We can use the Holy Spirit for good. I've seen the Holy Spirit move in mighty, mighty ways. And ask my wife, I have been a doubter on many things that I've seen. And then there's still some, that's phony. Just stop your garbage. That's garbage. But then there's those times when the power of God hit me and I fell flat on my face and everybody else got seated. The Holy Spirit just came in and just fell on them. They fell in their seats, and I fell flat on the concrete floor. No, didn't get hurt, because that's the Holy Spirit. But the religion wants to stop what God wants to do. He doesn't want you to have the power. Well, don't you know, brother, the Holy Spirit was only for the apostles. When did anything stop? Nothing stopped. As a matter of fact, the Dark Ages, I think, are called the Dark Ages, not necessarily because of all the other stuff is gone, but because the Holy Spirit was locked out of the body of Christ. Let's stop God. We don't want this Holy Spirit, because religion had become the thing. People like Martin Luther, that's why he rebelled. He rebelled because he actually got in the Word of God and saw what the church was doing was wrong. And he said, no. They don't need to pay you to pray for them. But that's the way it was. And when I was in Ukraine, I went into a Russian Orthodox church. First off, the preacher comes out. Oh, he was smashed. He reeked of alcohol. And he said, I can't pray with you. Why? Well, you're not Russian Orthodox. What does that matter? What does that matter? And then when we went in, I mean, you have to like gold gilding. You know, if you like President Trump's house, if you've seen the inside, I personally despise it. I do not like gold gilded crap. That's just me. That's what this church was. The whole church. Everything was gold. I'm like, this isn't even pretty anymore. It's gaudy. Now there was, I mean, a huge paintings and things of that nature and ornate, and the building wasn't any bigger than this. And then I looked back here on the wall and I asked our interpreter, what's that sign say? And she said, that's the price for prayers. If you want a prayer for this, this is how much it'll cost. What? What happened to freely you have received, freely give? But that's what religion does. It takes away, and what I want to teach you is you have the same power I have. You have the same authorities over demons and spirits that I have. The exact same. The moment you said yes to Jesus, you had that authority. Now, it takes some time to develop ability. I mean, you can ask anybody that starts picking up something. It takes some time. You want to learn how to play a guitar? Well, you go buy a guitar, and what do? You start by building calluses on your fingers. And then you really start stretching your fingers. And you make all kinds of sour notes. It takes time and time and time. So it takes time to build that kind of faith. Some people jump into it quicker than others. God's not judging you on that. Until he comes down and says, how long do I got to carry you? Remember his disciples? Jesus was with them physically for 3 years. 3 years he ministered in their midst. He raised people from the dead. He healed the sick. He healed the blind, the lame. How long do I got to be with you? He wanted them to mature and to grow up. And so then he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. The quicker you get hold of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's job is and all the gifts and benefits of the Holy Spirit, the quicker you'll grow up. So why did I put that in Revelation? We're not looking at Revelations today. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's start there. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away. I'm going to have to read off of there. These glasses, I'm waiting for my new ones, I promise. They just haven't come yet. You were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Dumb idols. Dumb, I mean, they can't speak particularly, but I like our version of the word dumb to put in here too. They're stupid. The things we elevate, this is almighty. This is God. No, God didn't want to be represented by anything but us. Do we get that? We are his representation. He didn't want a cross. That happened 300 years after him. People, we need a symbol to represent the church. Let's use the Roman electric chair. That's what the cross really is, folks. Oh, Pastor, you're talking about the cross, the precious cross. Let me tell you something. If it weren't for the empty grave, the cross meant nothing. He was just Spartacus. Just another rebel crucified. Then I saw something the other day about symbols. And we get all bent up, the upside down. I'm not telling you go out and start wearing upside down crosses. They're evil. Look at that, got an upside down cross. Anybody know the history of the church and know how Peter was put to death? He said, I am not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as my Lord. Crucify me upside down. There's an upside down cross in the church history. We get so caught up in, well, it needs to represent us. The fish. I don't care about the fish. This guy was trying to prove that the fish didn't represent Christianity. And it's like, well, what they did. Okay, I get it. The fish has been used for centuries before for representations of religion. But the Holy Spirit. So what do? We want to talk about the Holy Spirit. We get a dove and a little bit of fire. That's our symbol. Why? Because it was used. However, he said, gently as a dove, and tongues like fire. Oh, and the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Not the mighty rushing wind. It was the sound. I talked to you last week about the power coming through electric lines. When it's so high, you can hear them. And if you're in doubt, we can crank the sound system up. It's 1,500 watts. It'll create the same sounds. And even some that will put you on your edge. But its sheer power came in and enveloped all those people. And the power of God rested on them. And they went out and began preaching to all the people that had come to Jerusalem that day. All right. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Next, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. My way of ministering is not somebody else's. So why do they keep trying to change me? Why? I've had people say, preacher, you need to go do this. You need to do that. Why? Well, because my son's doing it. Well, then your son needs to be out there doing it more. I need to be here doing what I'm supposed to do. God called me back from a warm place that doesn't get snow very often. And I was good to go with hurricanes. I've been through enough of them. I knew how to ride them now. But it was warm. He said, you go back. I love the people of Morrow County. And he told us we would teach as others have not taught. So what's that saying? You're going to be a little bit different, preacher. And guess what? I'm just a wee bit different. But there are differences. We need to understand the church up the road is not our enemy. And they need to understand we're not their enemy. When we first started this church, I went to a minister's meeting one time, the local pastoral association. And I told the preacher, I got to say, and he was the only one that would actually talk to me, by the way. They all knew that I hadn't gone to seminary school. And he was the only one who would talk to me. Later on, his church would rise up and kick him out. But he's still preaching. And anyhow, I told him, I said, I'm not here to take the people from your church. I do not hit people up there. I said, this county has 36,000 people living in it. And only, 1 or 2% of it goes to church. I said, that gives me 34% or 98% of the people to go bring in. This isn't 98% of the people, because not everybody's called here. There are people who are and people who aren't. People who get filled up and they move away. God, you know how much I poured into them over the years. No. I praise God, and that's something I've had to realize, you know, even with my own kids. Like, well, they gotta go. They gotta go do their own thing now. So anyhow. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Remember this. Every gift of the Holy Spirit is for everybody. Now, where there's one that is only edifies you, and we will talk about that. But the gifts of God are for the edification of the body of Christ. So if you went to a church and you're like, well, they never talked about the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a problem. That's why you weren't being built up. The word edify means to build up. What is the purpose of the fivefold ministry? All apostles, preachers, teachers, prophets, and pastors. It is to build up the body of Christ. Sometimes we gotta hug you. Other times, we may have to kick you in the butt. That's just the way it goes. They've always said that preachers are one of two types. You're either the coach or the drill instructor. I don't know how to be a coach, but boy, I think I'd have made a good drill instructor. It's the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of all. Next. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Word of wisdom is something you may need to know. Knowledge is kind of like it, but sometimes, and by the way, God doesn't always show you. If God shows me something about Pat, sometimes it's not always for me to go tell Pat, hey, yo, brother, God sees you as a ship being tossed to and fro. No, that's for me to say, Father, I pray for my friend. Whether or not I know him, I pray, Lord, that you help him. Because I knew somebody who did that. Every time, and it was clockwork, every time a visitor came, they got a word similar to that. Everyone, like clockwork. And they never came back. Never, not one. Not one ever came back in the 5 years. And the reason being is because God wasn't showing this person that for them. He was showing so that he could pray. And I've realized that. I see things. God shows me things. Hey, pray for them. The other day, just out of the blue, somebody came into my heart, and I said, Lord, I don't know what they're going through right now, but you do. And I began to pray for them. I said, strengthen them. Rise up in them. Whatever it is, Father, bring them peace. So if ever sometime you just like, wow, I just felt like I got a vitamin K shot. Woo, I'm ready to rock and roll. Well, you might have. God might have just gave you that little booster you needed, because that's what it's for. It's not for freaking people out. I was preaching a message years ago. I mean, we were early on. We were still over in a 20 by 20 refrigerator over here, and a 20-foot section over here is where the church started. It was a tiny little area of carpet, had a pole right in the middle, and about 40 chairs maybe, if we were lucky. No, 25, I'm sorry, we had 25 chairs. I still got them. And anyhow, I was preaching and I met this guy, and he, through a business transaction we were doing for the show, I'm going to come check you out sometime. Okay, so he shows up. And I'm preaching the message, and before the message was over, man, he got up like somebody just stuck a fork in his rear end, and man, he hit the door running. I'm like, what did I do? You know, so I got lots of people that say, Pastor, if I got to get up in the middle of the church, I have to leave today. I'm not offended. But this guy looked like he had seen a ghost and hit the door running. He called me up a couple days later. He said, Pastor, I need to apologize for the way I left. He said, you were preaching, and I didn't know anything about this guy. He said, you began to preach on exactly what I was going through that right then. He said, you hit it on the head, and he said, and it scared me that God would show you the rest. Now, whether or not he got things squared away, I don't know. But it was the fact that God does that. God will show me things sometimes to pray for. That's why when I pray, you might think, why did he pray that? That's just kind of stupid. I'd rather him have a canned prayer. At least we can control that. I'd rather not be controlled, thank you very much. Because you might just cut your blessings off. God had me pray for an apartment one time for somebody. And I began to pray. I said, Lord God, I call that apartment painted, new carpet, this, this, and this. And the people came back, a week later, I said, Pastor, you ain't going to believe this. I said, try me. And they said, everything you prayed for, God did. The apartment was just painted. It's got new floors. It's got this. It's got that. Don't put God in a box. And just because somebody may have just read your mail doesn't necessarily mean God knows who it was. I've said things. I didn't know I was talking about him. No clue. I didn't know. But however, when he jumped up and went running, well, okay. And so from that point on, I'm like, uh-huh. I got him. No. So it's the same Holy Spirit. Next. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, you can have a bit of all of these, okay? But not everybody is a master of all these gifts. I've prayed for people. They've recovered. They've been healed. I've got pretty good faith. There are people, I think, who may even have greater faith. I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, no, I've got the greatest faith in the world. Well, first off, it takes just a little bit. See, it takes just a little bit of bleach to treat water. Just a little bit. I think, was it, a cap full treats like 15,000 gallons or something like that? It makes all those cups my mom used to put in our swimming pool when I was a kid seem a little overboard. Might be why I can't stand the smell of bleach now. I guarantee it is. But just a little bit of faith. But there are people, that's what they've got. They've got great faith. They will not be moved. And you need that. You need to know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is Lord. God raised him from the dead, and he is returning. Because all these people that are telling you that he's not coming back, all these people that are telling you God is dead, all these people that are doing this and they're doing that, they're only telling you what the Word has already said. They're going to rise up. They're going to tell you Jesus doesn't exist. He said that. They're coming. They're going to force you to do what they want to do. Eventually, there's going to be a mark coming. And I promise you, I'm going to talk a little bit, but I'm not getting as depth as people would like. I know would like to, oh, Pastor, tell us like the books, exactly what's going to happen. You need to understand, Revelation is a prophecy of time. There's things that have already happened in there. So there are things that everybody, oh, I'm waiting for this to come now. We need that sign in the sky. We need the dragon. I need to see the dragon take out a third of the stars. That happened before our time. It already happened. So, anyhow. But people that don't have the Holy Spirit aren't going to listen to that. They're like, I need a book. I just need a story. Well, this isn't Narnia, folks. You need to know this is what it is. Some of this stuff has happened, and there's stuff yet to come. To another, the faith. To another, gifts of healing. It's all the same Holy Spirit. Next. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Those last two we'll talk about more here coming up. But let's talk right now about the miracles. Has anybody ever put tape over your gas gauge when it's on empty? My dad did. And he drove to Lodi in the 70s in a Barracuda. Not known for great gas mileage. And the second he took it off, that car ran out of gas. To another, prophecy. Now, let's talk about prophecy. This was one of my favorite things to get on. I don't understand the school of the prophets in the Old Testament. No idea. There are people today, they have a school of prophets. Some of them, I think, merely teach you how to read people. You can read people and figure stuff out. It's not that hard. Oh, sister, I see that you're doubting me. I can see it in your eyes. No, she's not really. Yeah, her body language. They teach you that kind of stuff. Prophecy, real prophecy is bringing forth the word of God into existence. Now, there's a reason it needs to be spoken. God spoke what he wanted in the beginning. Written word is blah. Okay?
Well, Pastor, I can't believe you just said the Bible is blah.
It doesn't mean anything until you speak it. That's why you have a tongue, is so you can speak God's will into existence. Otherwise, it's just a story in a book. That's why Jesus said, if you need this mountain removed, he said, read this quietly and hope in your heart that I do it. He said, no, he said, speak to that mountain and it will move. He said, if that you need that tree gone, speak to the sycamore. Man, sycamores are huge. Speak to that sycamore tree and tell it to be plucked up and cast into the sea, and it will do it. It's the same spirit. It's faith. It's a miracle. Do I think God wants people going around moving the mountains all over the place? Are you kidding? Think about the chaos. But what about the guy that wants to live on the mountain? Hey, you just threw my home into the ocean. Everything is also according to the will of God, not our will. Thank God, because we would have all been going around, I want that mountain out of my way. I live on that mountain. That hill's blocking my view. My house sits on that hill, thank you very much. And by the way, the view is very nice on from my hill. So we have to be in the will of God, but you have to speak to these things. Jesus always spoke. Again, it's another subject. But prophecy. I have seen people over the years, and this is why it's one of my, I'll call it a pet peeve, I don't know. I know God has words, and God has given me words through people. And I've been in churches, though, where it was encouraged that people get together and they start praying and all this. And next thing you know, we have what I coined as prophelying clubs. People would get together. They may have had a gift of prophecy, but then they began to prophesy over one another and they began to speak lies. And that is garbage. Full-on garbage. A prophecy may be more of the lines of, I know your heart, and God says it'll be all right. That's prophecy. We went to a meeting one time, we thought it was actually a barbecue. Anybody ever been side swiped like it? Oh yeah, you were there. And you were there. It's like, wait a minute, this is supposed to be a barbecue. What's this guy that's driving the Ford Fiesta that works for the unemployment office? He's a prophet? Okay. Nice to meet you. Oh, you're going to give us prophecies. When he looked at my precious wife and he says, you're past with the occult. My wife looked at me and said, honey, the closest I could have come was trick-or-treating as a child. I said, he's a whack job. And I don't remember the rest of it. That's the part I do remember. I'm like, okay, you might have had me till you did that, buddy. I'm closer to being occultic than her. I study that crap to know what it is, not to practice it. I do believe in knowing your enemy and knowing what he's using and what he's not. The church has spent so much time chasing on witch hunts, chasing the wrong things. Pokemon, they're the devil! Oh my gosh. Anyhow. But then we get down here to different kinds of tongues, and then another interpretation of tongues. Again, these words, tongues, is still the same word for that muscle that's in your mouth. It's all the same word. But the different kinds of tongues, different kinds, means not the languages, but the what they are for. We speak a regular language, right? Most of us in here speak English. Anybody else have more than one language that you can speak fluently? That's the only stipulation, because I can speak several languages, but just yes, no, and maybe welcome. All right, so nobody's real fluent in anything else. We can all maybe say gracias and señor, and it's because you go to the Mexican restaurant down here. But these people that were in the upper room that day, they went out and they spoke Phoenician. They spoke African. They spoke Asian. They spoke different real languages. And then there's a heavenly language. I'm just looking to see if I'm going to be able to get to 1 Corinthians 13 yet. I don't think so. Then there is a heavenly language. Paul called it the tongue of angels. There is that one. That one has a divided division as well. There's prayer time and there's a prophecy time, a word from God. But then there's this last part, interpretations. And I've been around this for quite a while, and I know there, and just so y'all know, God usually stirs in me. I don't bring them forth. But God stirs in me and has for years when somebody's going to bring forth a word. The Holy Spirit in me begins to stir. And I'm like, okay. And I'm, because I used to be the sound man. That was my job, to sit up there in the back and make sure that there were no funny sounds. And the Spirit of God would start stirring, and I'd sit back there and bing, 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 bing. And God said, right there. Sure enough, that was the person. And then it's like, okay, who's got the interpretation, Father? They do. Paul taught, which we'll get to, that if you bring forth a tongue of a prophecy in a service like this, you are also responsible for the interpretation of it. A lot of people don't like that part. We'll talk. I'm going to tell you right now, I control this stuff more than what people think. Well, You're hindering the Holy Spirit, don't you know? You're grieving the Holy Spirit. No, I think stupid people grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul said everything should be done decently and in order. And churches that are out of order with the Holy Spirit are not good. More, I've been in them, and people are constantly getting hurt because people don't want to. Because I'll tell you right now, just anybody in here, you feel that you have a word for somebody else in this church, you bring it to me first. You bring it to me first. And then we will go and we will talk to that person. And if it strikes, if it means something to them, then good. And if it doesn't, go on with your life. It was something that they weren't aware of. And sometimes people say, well, you know what that person told me? And I said, yeah, well, it came to pass. It happened. So these are real gifts, but they're not to be abused, okay? Where am I? So next. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. As I've read through there, I've said, Lord, you have actually started moving me into about all of them. I don't seek to try to bring forth words of prophecy to people because there's an obligation. Back in the day of the law, if Joe brought forth a prophecy and he said, yea, verily, verily, thus saith the Lord, we'll throw all that stuff in there because that's usually a good religious thing to throw in a prophecy, right? He said, thus saith the Lord, there will be a 6-month drought starting tomorrow. Well, if tomorrow we start 6 months of rain, he gets stoned. And not with wacky weed. He gets rocks the size of his head thrown at him till he's dead. That's what they did with prophets. who told lies. So if you say it's from God, you had better doggone well know, because I'm not going to throw rocks at you. But I'm not saying God's real thrilled with you for it. You need to know, and that's why faith has got to grow. Now, there was something, like I said, I'm not going to make it to all of them today, but there is one more verse. I think it's the, bring up the next verse, 13 or 12:31. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. I'm here to tell you, folks, all the things I just talked about, they're great. The gift of prophecy is awesome when it's done properly. The gift of tongues is awesome when it's done properly. The gift of faith is done awesome, done properly. All of these gifts are powerful and they're awesome if they're done properly. Because Paul said, yet I'm going to show you a better. Man, what could be better than to have the gifts of God living in you? Right? That I could speak to that mountain and tell it to move and it goes. By the way, I think metaphorically is more what he was referring to. But we do like to use this because God needed us to understand. There's Mount Kilimanjaro and you got to get to the other side. Me personally, I'd like to be like Philip. For those of you that don't know, Philip in the New Testament was translated. For you Star Trek fans, that means somebody pushed the button and he went... And he just went to somewhere else. And I've actually heard of people that this has happened to in today's world. Never happened to me. Not that I'm aware of. But I'm here to tell you, he said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And that all begins in 1 Corinthians 13:1. We call this the love chapter. But I was standing back in there getting myself prepared during praise and worship back here. I started reading 13 and 14. I realized, God, I can't stop this today. I got to go through love. I got to get into 14. Because I need people to know what God has to say to us. Because the gifts of the Spirit, they don't make us weird. God will show you. I saw as a 10-year-old boy, I was in church and I was on the second row. The church wasn't only about four rows back. It was just a weird layout, so it was real narrow. And I'm standing there and God gave me a vision of the little boy right in front of me. I mean, he was like two. He showed me that kid flipping that chair. Because they were those metal folding chairs. You all know how nice, sturdy those things are. Well, this kid was standing on the very back of it and leaning back. Now you say, well, anybody can see it. No, I said, I saw it before it happened. And it happened. Now, you think that having seen it, I could have been prepared and kept the kid from hitting the ground. But I was so floored myself that I seen that. Exactly the way it happened. And I know now that God was just preparing me not to freak out and run when he shows me things. Because it's a little weird, isn't it? You see something. But what God has been able to do is I've been able to speak into people's lives. Not everything has to happen. The kid's mother could have put her hand down and turned him around. I could have stepped over and been right there and stopped it. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is shows us things to come. That's the Word. This is the Bible. I'm not teaching you my philosophy. I'm not teaching you my thoughts. I'm teaching you the Word of God. So that you can have a powerful life. Well, I don't want to be weird. Well, you're probably already weird. And besides that, people have already seen your car in the parking lot. So get over it. I would rather be powerful. I'd rather be known for being faithful. I would rather be known for not buckling. You know, I look back and I know God had to stick me in the Marines for a reason. And part of it was to get over being butthurt over somebody making fun of me. We were talking about this over breakfast yesterday, about how Marines aren't, we don't claim to be the smartest. Because if we were that highly intelligent, and Eli confirmed this, he has run into people, he said, because I said, if Marines were this real great smart group of guys, which we're not idiots, most of us, there's a lot of us that are, but we would not do what we had to do. We would not be where we had to be. You put a soldier and a Marine on something, my cousin's ex-husband, he was a captain in the Army, and he said, and he pointed this out, he said, one of the huge differences I see in Marines is that you put them both in the same scenario, you tell this Army leader, get through that town. He goes and tries to find a door and tries to open the door. You tell the Marine captain, I want you to go through that town. He calls the tank, says, blow a hole in the wall, and we're going in that way. He said, that's Marines. They don't really think, but they just do. But yet, what Eli pointed out was exactly the truth. Because the Bible says, you may think you're wise, but you're foolish. When you think you're smarter than what the situation is, you won't do what has to happen. He said, people that he's seen in the Air Force are like, why are we doing this? This is so stupid. I'm not doing that. Now we're going to give the Air Force their garbage, aren't we, Dave? The other branches we're giving the Air Force they're what for? But we do. We pick on each other. But you know, the term jarhead was not exactly a loving term, but it is now. We call each other jarheads as a term of affection, man. It's like we got a weird situation going on. But we have got to remember that what we're known for. I want this body of Christ to be known for being powerful. That people can say, hey, I called them and they prayed. And bless God, my son is living because of that. It doesn't mean the devil's going to not try to come after you. The devil comes every day. That's why you need to have your sword ready. You need to have your boots on. Get your armor on. Get your helmet on. Lock and load. Not every day is going to be war. But what's more intimidating? A guy just walking down the street in his jeans and his cowboy boots, or a guy walking down the street with a locked and loaded weapon, with helmet on, body armor, grenades, ammo, knife. I dare say the guy that's got the devil is going to plan his attacks on you. I read something, this is not spiritual, I mean just transitioning, letting people get their prayer requests out. I read something the other day that said there are officially only two branches of the military. There's the Army and there's the Navy. The Air Force is a corporation and the Marines are a cult. And I thought, yep, that's about right. Oh, they made another funny name of us. Let's start calling each other that. You know what? They can call us holy rollers. They can call us Bible thumpers. I don't care. I don't browbeat people. I haven't rolled in the floor. But I know the power of God's real. I have seen people run around the church building screaming, I'm on fire. That man got saved that day. I have seen things happen for people. I've seen cancer healed. cancer, not a cyst. We have a friend as well, which, remind me and I'll pray for him. You got it on there? Okay. So let's, we probably got two more weeks on the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you right now, what the Holy Spirit needs to be priority in every church. That's where our power comes from. It's not from memorizing 10 verses or 10 commandments. It's from the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, it's against the law. I can't do that. Well, it was against the law for David and his men to eat the showbread in the temple, but yet they did it, and God didn't kill them. It was against the law for the disciples to reach down and pluck the heads of wheat and pick out the seeds and eat the seeds. It was against the law. That's considered harvest. It was against the law. They should have been stoned. Well, preacher, you know, I don't know. You know, that's that law. This is this law. I'm just going to tell you right now, God's way supersedes all law, even our laws. I've shared with you before how she went into labor on April 1st, and we were in Johnsville, and we needed to get to Marion. And the doctor had already told me, you have about 5 minutes if she goes into full labor. And so I'm like, what? This is real? She's like, yeah. I'm thinking, yeah, April 1st, guys, right? What better way to get your husband? Hey, I'm in labor. What? We got in that 1989 Taurus with a four-cylinder. Her, my mother-in-law was in the back seat. I blew through Mount Gilead at 65 miles an hour. Had no traffic. I caught every light green. I can tell you, you can take the curves out on 95 at 90 miles an hour. I can tell you how fast you can take the one at the sheriff's office, too. It was about 80. With the Holy Spirit holding the car on the road. That's all I'm going to say. Because I was praying. I'm like, oh, Jesus. But here's what I got to tell you. 20 minutes and I was at Marion General. From Johnsville. 11 miles away from here. To the other side of Marion. Every light green. Not one cop. I didn't even have to pass anybody. The road was clear. Has anybody ever just driven ground through there? I mean, you drive it all the time. I usually see you after the fact. I was like, oh, yeah, that was Richard. There's always cars on that road. You don't always hit those lights green. But God's law superseded. And made sure I did not get my license taken away or thrown into jail that day. And God stopped the labor. And Jesse was born a month later. That's God. God's laws override man's. Well, you guys can't pray for people anymore. You can't give food to them. We don't want them to have food. Want to bet? I'll take it to them. We'll do what nobody else will do. All right. So having said that, Phil, will you bring me the prayer request? Anybody else got one while he's on his way up? I know I had mentioned last week that I was still contemplating, but going to try to go to the funeral of the corpsman. And I finally got word on some things. They still don't have a date on the funeral, but they've got limited abilities right now. They're only allowing 8 motorcycles into the airport, and then everybody else has to meet at a toll booth up at Milan and fall in behind, and then when they get to the thing, just disappear. So I was like, well, I'd be driving my truck anyhow, so be praying for that family. But No, that one just kind of made me laugh. It was his mother's, Jesse's mother's prayer request. Which, by the way, we get to see him Friday. We heard from him last week, so it was the clearest call. I don't know if you've gotten any clear calls, but did you get one last week? Was it clear? Okay. It was the clearest one. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. We could actually hear him. It was like trying to listen to the McDonald's lady speaking back to you before. Like, she's like, what did he say? I'm like, I'm trying to interpret. Some of these terms have changed. Praise God. Let's go before the Lord. We're going to believe on all these things. You know, we're going to be praying for some healing on for some people. We're going to be praying for some people that are seriously hurting right now. And let me tell you, the best thing you can have when you're praying for somebody is empathy. That's being able to put yourself in their shoes and imagine how they feel. That's called love, by the way. So just remember that. All right, let's go before God.